Is the 10,000-hour rule a general rule of success? If we scratch below the surface of every great achiever, do we always find the equivalent of the Michigan Computer Center or the hockey all-star team, some sort of special opportunity for practice? Let's test the idea with two examples. And for the sake of simplicity, let's make them as familiar as possible. The Beatles, one of the most famous rock bands ever, and Bill Gates, one of the world's richest men. The Beatles, John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr, came to the United States in February of 1964, starting the so-called British invasion of the American music scene and putting out a string of hit records that transformed the face of popular music. The first interesting thing about the Beatles, for our purposes, is how long they had already been together by the time they reached the United States. Lennon and McCartney first started playing together in 1957, 7 years prior to landing in America. Incidentally, the time that elapsed between their founding and their arguably greatest artistic achievements, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band and the Beatles' White Album, is 10 years. And if you look even more closely at those long years of preparation, you'll find an experience that, in the context of hockey players and Bill Joy and world-class violinists, sounds awfully familiar. In 1960, while they were still a struggling high school rock band, the Beatles were invited to play in Hamburg, Germany. Hamburg in those days did not have rock and roll music clubs. It had strip clubs, says Philip Norman, who wrote the Beatles' biography, Shout. There was one particular club owner called Bruno, who was originally a fairground showman. He had the idea of bringing in rock groups to play in various clubs. They had this formula. It was a huge nonstop show, hour after hour, with a lot of people lurching in and the other lot lurching out. And the bands would play all the time to catch the passing traffic. In an American red light district, they would call it nonstop striptease. Many of the bands that played in Hamburg were from Liverpool, Norman went on. It was an accident. Bruno went to London to look for bands, but he happened to meet an entrepreneur from Liverpool in Soho who was down in London by pure chance, and he arranged to send some bands over. That's how the connection was established. And eventually, the Beatles made a connection not just with Bruno, but with other club owners as well. They kept going back because they got a lot of alcohol and a lot of sex. And what was so special about Hamburg? It wasn't that it paid well. It didn't. Or that the acoustics were fantastic. They weren't. Or that the audiences were savvy and appreciative. They were anything but. It was the sheer amount of time the band was forced to play. Here is John Lennon in an interview after the Beatles disbanded, talking about the band's performances at a Hamburg strip club called the Indra. We got better and got more confidence. We couldn't help it with all the experience playing all night long. It was handy them being foreign. We had to try even harder, put our heart and soul into it to get ourselves over. In Liverpool, we'd only ever done one-hour sessions, and we just used to do our best numbers, the same ones at every one. In Hamburg, we had to play for 8 hours, so we really had to find a new way of playing. 8 hours? Here is Pete Best, the Beatles' drummer at the time. Once the news got out about that we were making a show, the club started packing them in. We played 7 nights a week. At first, we played almost nonstop until 12:30 in the morning when it closed, but as we got better, the crowd stayed till 2 most mornings. 7 days a week? The Beatles ended up traveling to Hamburg 5 times between 1960 and the end of 1962. On the first trip, they played 106 nights, 5 or more hours a night. On their second trip, they played 92 times.